Blog Talk Radio.
It was very late at night. I was sitting outside on a rock. As Stan said, I showed him the rock when he came to my home. And I was just thinking, what did I do? I was crying so my family wouldn't see me. And all of a sudden, I saw a light coming towards me. When I saw the light, I thought it was a car. Because in Romania and in Italy, they always try to run me over with cars. So I thought, they found me here too.
Dar n-a fost mașină,
but it was not a car.
Că lumina m-a cucerit,
the light surrounded me.
Și din lumina m-a auzit aceeași voce.
And out of the light I heard the same voice.
Era același înger.
It was the same angel.
Dumitru, de ce ești disperat?
Dumitru, why are you so despaired?
De ce m-ai pedepsit așa de tare?
Why'd you punish me so harshly?
Ce am făcut eu?
What did I do?
Ce nu m-ai lăsat pe mine în pușcărie?
Why couldn't you let me stay in prison?
Familia avea unde să stea.
But my family would have had a home.
Zic, eu n-am un unde pleca cap.
I don't have a bed to lay my head down on.
De ce m-ai adus aici?
Why was I brought here?
Dumitru, te-am adus aici că țara asta va...
Dumitru, I brought you to this country because this country will burn.
Și m-ai adus să mă ard aici și nu m-ai lăsat să mor în pușcărie în țara mea.
So why did you bring me here to burn? Why didn't you let me die in jail in my own country?
Dumitru, taci.
He said, Dumitru, be quiet.
Urcă-te lângă mine.
Get beside me.
Ce aparat a avut? Nu.
I don't know what the device was.
M-a tras lângă el.
But he pulled me beside him.
Mi-a arătat toată California.
And he showed me all of California. Do you see what I've shown you? This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Păcatul lor a ajuns înaintea lui Dumnezeu.
Their sins have reached God.
Și Dumnezeu a hotărât să-i pedepsească pe
And God has decided to punish them by fire.
M-a dus și mi-a arătat Las Vegas.
He came and showed me Las Vegas.
Aici e Sodoma și Gomorra.
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah.
Într-o zi va...
And one day it will burn.
Mi-a arătat New York.
He came and showed me New York.
Aici e New York.
This is New York.
Aici
This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. In one day it will burn. And then he showed me Florida. This is Florida. This is a Sodom and Gomorrah. And in one day it will burn.
You've been listening to the Wake Up America message with Dimitri Dudeman. For a copy of this very important message, please go to our website at handofhelp.com. Never before in the history of our country has our nation been in more jeopardy than now. Please order a copy of the video Wake Up America at the handofhelp.com website and get the warning out while we still have time. This is the Light of Truth radio broadcast with Michael Boldea.
Today, Gene Schmidt filling in for Mike Boldea, and I've got a guest on the line, Jeff Sievertson. Welcome, Jeff.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing very good. And Mike has, believe it or not, he has an event with his daughter tonight and can't make it, but I'm so much looking forward to doing a program where we can discuss some current events and how they line up with the word of the Lord, and there sure is a lot going on right now out there, and so it's very pertinent and very important that, you know, we continue as a ministry to blow a trumpet and make sure people realize that, as Mike said many times, the time we've been given is more of a reprieve and not a pardon, and I think we have to really be mindful that the words and dreams, visions, and prophetic words that God gave Dimitri Dudeman are all lining up. They're all taking place. In fact, it's amazing how much accurate they're happening to prove how accurate God's prophetic warnings were. And, you know, so we need to, as a ministry, continue to blow a trumpet and continue to not be silent and continue to not, you know, think that these things will not happen. You agree with that, Jeff?
Oh yeah, definitely. I, of course, you know, long before you know Trump became president, when I had read Dimitri's visions and dreams, I had often wondered what it meant when he talked about that the government would be busy with internal problems. And at the time, I had thought that it was people fighting against the government and the government trying to deal with those problems. And now that Trump is president and, you know, he's in there for at least 500 days. It's kind of the 500-day mark. I don't know if it's today or yesterday, but, you know, 500 days in. And we can see how that shaping up to be internal problems, because we've never really seen this with any presidency, where a president is having to fight with people within his cabinet, within his staff, within his branch of government, just, you know, what they call the deep state. So when you first heard or first read, or maybe you first heard it, Dmitry talk about internal problems within the government, what did you think that meant at the time?
Well, I believe that internal problems are going to lead to a civil revolution. And, you know, there's America's divided. And I believe a lot of it started when the rioting and the whole Black Lives Matter thing, the thing in Ferguson, Missouri, started a big rift of the basically the chest, you know, treating police the way that society does, especially the part of society that does not respect authority. And so the country is very divided politically, and it's also very divided along racial lines. And that is all you've got to have a full-blown revolution in America would be a few events take place, you know, whether it be economic, whether they be racial, whether they be, you know, as we said, internally with what's going on with Trump and the talk of impeachment, or even trying to follow through with that. And the fabric of America that we think is so unified is not unified, and could easily rip in half very, very easily. And so I think that's many things that can lead to what God showed Dmitry. I also believe without a doubt that the internal revolution, America's full of, well, immigration issue can also cause a big internal problem, because that whole issue is, if it continues to foment, or, you know, let's face it, America has a lot of people from other countries here, and they've allowed a lot of, you know, they've allowed Islam to encroach in our country and mosque to be built. And I will tell you that I think it's all heating up to the perfect storm.
Yeah, it definitely is. And you can see this with even just studying, for example, the Old Testament, watching how invading nations would destroy each other. One of the ways in which you would destroy a nation, of course, once you overcame it and took it over, you wouldn't let the populace remain. You would take many of the inhabitants in that land, you would move them out, and then you would move other populations in, because if you let those people coalesce and move back together, they could then fight you who just took them out. And you can see that with the immigration. You can see that with the division, like you said, along racial lines. There's also along gender lines. There's generational lines. This whole idea, which the globalists, the deep state, whatever you want to call them, are working overtime to try to make sure that this country doesn't unite together, because we saw with the Trump presidency, we saw at least the conservative base beginning to coalesce to push back against the deep state. And of course now it's not that Trump is causing the rift. He's almost in a sense revealing it, like, you know, somebody turning on the light. He's revealing how all these different institutions, whether it's government institutions, whether it's corporations, whether it's educational institutions, it's revealing how entrenched the globalists, the liberals, the Democrats, whatever you want to call them, have become in all these major institutions, to the point where their whole goal is to divide this nation and to break it apart. And I often wondered when I read Dmitry's visions of America burning, I had often thought that, and even this was even before Trump got into the presidency, I'd often thought that the globalists didn't want to destroy this nation, but they had no other choice because it was going to rise back up again. And of course, when we were watching that night, my wife and I, and even my daughter, on, you know, the election results, and I thought, well, Hillary's going to get in. It's clear she's going to get in. As things shifted, it brought me back to that thought of this nation will rise up and try to push back, and the other side will push back even harder to the point where it will cause such a great division. It'll be like what he talked about. We'll be so busy with internal problems inside the government and people coming against the government that our eyes are going to become shifted inward. We're not going to be looking out at our enemies, and that's the opportune time to take us down.
Yeah, and I'm reading right now in the message, you know, I said, remember this, Dmitry, the Russian spies have discovered where the nuclear warehouses are in America. Today, Putin did a call-in show, and he mentioned World War III. And he made it clear, and Russia is arming, and they're planning on nuclear war. They've been mentioning for over a year and a half in the news, in the media, and doing civil drills, and making sure people have gas masks, that they have some form of site they can go to where it would pretty well be nuclear proof, like under the subways or bunkers. They are preparing for a major war. And Putin quoted today Einstein, and he said, if there's a World War III, World War IV will be fought with sticks and stones. And that's the key, you know, that, you know, and the, Dmitry said, God showed him when the Americans think it's peace and safety, from the middle of the country, some people will start fighting against the government. The government will be busy with internal problems. And so the problems are multiple. It says internal problems. Many problems. Could be economic, racial, could be the division caused by prejudices that people think are there that aren't there. It could be a host of things. It could be something dealing with immigration, part of that. I just think it's a whole slew of things, you know, that will possibly cause the internal fomentation, you know.
Yeah, I remember when I first read those, I'm a bit of a skeptic. I grew up going to church. I went to a Presbyterian church. They used to call us the Frozen Chosen. And we weren't, you know, I always kind of kept God at a distance. So I kind of grew up a skeptical person. I loved math and science. I went into engineering, aeronautics, and I'm now in computers. And so as I became a believer, I kind of came through this skeptical portal, I guess you could say, because I just, you know, reached out and looked at everything I could and challenged God, I guess, at every point. And God met those challenges easily with evidence and proof. And when I read Dmitry's prophecies, I always kind of looked at it with a skeptical eye, always asking the Lord, is this guy true? Is this guy for real? And so every time I would come across an article that kind of fed into proof for Dmitry, what he had said, it just kind of reinforced the fact that, okay, this guy really did hear from the Lord, really did see these things, and he's somebody to listen to. And one of the things that I had come across, it's been years ago, and I actually tried to find the article again, but I can't find it yet. It was an article that talked about Bill Clinton had released some documents that indicated where our nuclear sites were and that the Russians had gotten a hold of those. And I thought, oh, my goodness, right there. Once again, we've been sold out by the Clintons to a foreign power. And so now the Russians, they already have the information to know where our nuclear warehouses are at. And this was years ago. And I thought, oh, my goodness, this is – and as I keep – you know, as like you were talking about, this kind of keeps building and building and building. And one of the other things I had come across, I was thinking about how in Scripture so often the Lord is very pointed and at times literal. And I thought, okay, well, if this angel told Dmitry that from the middle of the country, people would start fighting against the government. If you remember, I think it was last year, maybe, or a year and a half, there was that shooting that had occurred at the Republican baseball game. Remember? I think it was Scalise who was hit and almost died. And he just recently came back to the Republican ball game. And I thought, I wonder where that guy's from. Because for 11 months, he lived in Washington, D.C., but I was wondering, where did he really come from? Well, it was like somewhere on Ohio, the south end of Illinois, somewhere in that region.
Yeah.
And so I went to this geological survey, and I was looking, where's the median, the center of the United States? And there's actually two kind of medians based on population and land. And if you drew a line between those two, that guy's town where he came from was right in the middle. So basically, in the middle of the country, this person came out and began to fight against actual elected government officials for the express purpose of trying to kill them.
Wow.
And I thought, there you go.
Well, I'm reading right now.
I thought that was so interesting.
An article came out today called The Second American Civil War, and this is what they write. Imagine that an impeachment resolution against Trump passes the House. Trump claims it's the work of the deep state. Fox News' Sean Hannity demands every honest patriot take to the streets. Right-wing social media calls for war. Now, this is, of course, a liberal article. As insurrection spreads, Trump commands the armed forces to side with the patriots. Well, it's November 2020, and Trump lost the election. He charges voter fraud, claiming the deep state organized tens of millions of illegal immigrants to vote against him, which I will say the deep state wouldn't do that. The Democrats would do that. And says he has an obligation not to step down, and riots ensue. Trump commands the armed forces to put them down. Now, they're all invoking Trump with this chaos and disorder. I will say that the liberal, far-left element of America, when they didn't win the election, who caused the chaos and disorder that didn't even want to see the inauguration take place? That was the left, the Democrats, what I mean? The very liberal element of America, from Hollywood stars that said, I'm moving out of the country, you know, to people that were almost wanting to lynch Trump, you know, and even threaten his life. And so when this is their thinking, but I can say without a doubt that God's hand will be removed one day. And then this anarchy and chaos will take place. I would have no doubt that multiple factors will be involved in causing the fomentation of this revolution.
Yeah, it's definitely, like you said, it's multiple things coming together all at once, and all it's going to take is a spark to set off the powder keg.
Yeah, and amazingly, the left is blaming Trump when they, again, you know, they were very much involved in trying to not even have him get inaugurated. It was amazing. I think if they'd have done that to any other presidential candidate, people would have went to federal prison over the threats that were made, you know. Yeah. But what happens if a president claims our system's not trustworthy, you know? They're going on to say Trump accused the deep state of embedding a spy in his campaign for political purposes. Well, I will be honest with you. There's no doubt they knew things about Trump and Trump Tower that you would only know by having someone spying. And they're all indicting Trump here. But there have been other articles that have really talked about a second American Civil War, you know, that do it along racial lines, you know. And but I do believe we're going to have a civil war. And Mike has mentioned that the attempt to impeach Trump would cause major chaos.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it would definitely. I mean, for example, look, I mean, if you think about how one spark can set off a big movement, take a look at what happened with, I think it's Tommy Robinson, who was one of the people that was exposing the pedophile rings, the grooming gangs in England. And, of course, it's been like 10 years he's been reporting on this. He's been put into prison. But when he tried to report on it, he immediately put into jail. You know, it was basically a kangaroo court, and they sentenced him for 13 months. And it sparked off this movement around the world of people protesting, you know, in their own country against England for what they did. And so it seems like the smallest of things could easily set off what, you know, like we're talking about a civil war within the United States. And it could be an impeachment. It could be who knows what. It could be the deep state gets so angry because he got reelected in 2020. But what his prophecy talks about is also what the Bible talks about, is that the reason why this is happening is because this nation, the churches in this nation, for years and years and years have turned their back on God. And God is allowing this to happen because of what we did. So we could, you know, like I tend to do, I get mad at the Democrats and the liberals and the deep state and the globalists. But then after a while, you have to stop and go, okay, how did we get here? Why is it this way? Why did these people take over all of these institutions and these positions of leadership? It's because the church backed away. It backed away from its responsibility within the society. It backed away within the church itself. It backed away from the Word of God. And it started bringing in all sorts of heresies and false doctrine and even practicing those things. Yeah. And it's just sad. I'm thankful that God called you guys, Hand of Help, and others to go across this nation for all the years that they did to call people to repentance. But it kind of reminds me of the prophet Jeremiah or the prophet Isaiah. You know, you sometimes feel like you're going on a foolhardy adventure where nothing's going to happen. But thanks be to God that he's willing to call people to repentance and give us time. And I think that's what Mike said and what you said is, that's what God has given us with this Trump president. It's given us a short reprieve, that one last breath to take before we go under, to give us that opportunity, because that shows God's mercy.
Yeah, and I'm checking out, you know, if you look under World War III and comments that Putin's made, it says Russia to develop new weapons to maintain military might for decades. You know, Putin announced month or two ago about hypersonic nuclear weapons that will be able to evade any of our radar or any of our missile defense forces. And lately, generals in America have been saying Russia does have weapons that we wouldn't be able to stop. In that meeting, they also showed a video of a warhead splitting or a missile splitting into 10 warheads, all of them hitting Florida. And they had an animated video during this conference that Putin did, showing Florida getting nuked. You would not put together a complex video about Florida getting nuked if you weren't thinking America was the enemy. It was not the enemy.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And he said today, or when he was in Sochi by the Black Sea, he said that the whole triad of Russia's military nuclear triad is going to be updated. Modernized missile-carrying bombers this year, modern cruise long-range missiles, they're all being updated, S-500 anti-ballistic missile systems, they're updating the long-range ICBMs, and although he says we don't want to be in an arms race with the West, let's face it, you know, they're in an arms race with the West. And, you know, it's also been held true that they say we're at the worst relations than we've ever been, even worse than the Cold War. So, Russia is the bear that's coming back to life, and you flick the bear's nose long enough, the bear takes the paw and gives you one swift blow. And Russia's also claiming these hypersonic missiles will be invincible. And so they are preparing for war. And they are saying in Russian media the U.S. is the you know, their enemy and is out of control. And there's no doubt with Russia, China, North Korea, and a few other countries, you know, surrounding us with threat and wanting to attack, it's like Mike's dream, you know, that he had with the deer that was crippled. And wolves surrounded it and took the deer out. And our enemies are lining up. And so the new avant-garde missile that will carry nuclear warheads, they're saying that hypersonic vehicle that's carrying that ICBM will be invincible, will not be able to be stopped by any radar that the U.S. has. The other thing is the U.S. is, electric grid is in such bad shape. I don't know if people are aware of it, but how an EMP or a pulse bomb would take out a lot of America's infrastructure, as far as computers and electronics. And
yeah.
We are more vulnerable than we know as a country. And when a country talks about World War III as much as Russia has been lately, then you know without a doubt that they mean it. And so it lines up with what God showed Dimitri, you know.
And, yeah, and one of the things years ago back during the Cold War, we had the policy of MAD, mutually assured destruction. And
mm-hmm.
that was kind of the thing that kept both, you know, United States and USSR, the Soviet Union, in somewhat of line, because the thought was, well, we both have enough nukes that we can totally destroy each other. Well, a few years ago, I had read an article that was put out by the Kremlin that stated that they believed they could survive a nuclear war. Of
yeah.
course, they're signaling outwardly to nations and especially to the United States that they're saying we are prepared to basically go to war, a nuclear war, and we feel that we could survive it. Whereas, you know, decades prior, both countries felt like there is just no way that either of us would survive it because we totally destroy. Well, now Russia's in the position saying, no, we think we can survive because, like you said, they have the weapons, they have the citizenship prepared, their citizens prepared, and they're willing to take some loss if we were to retaliate. But they believe that if they strike in such a manner, when the time is right, then they could easily take us out. And
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. No, you go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to interject one thing. If you read the prophecy, they hit the nuclear warehouses of America. That's a first strike. And they hit our missile bases and also hit our nuclear power plants and other things. So I agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, they are preparing. They have been preparing for years. They have. And one of the things, I don't remember if it was Mike who talked about this or if it was somebody else I heard this from, that a large majority of their populace they pass through the military. You know, there's required time to serve in the military. So many of them are prepared, ready to go, ready to survive, ready to fight. And of course, you kind of take a look at our citizens, you know, look at the millennial generation that has come up. They're more worried about, you know, who's going to pay for all their stuff. So imagine, you know, a societal collapse where all the services stop, the grocery store shelves go empty, Starbucks doesn't have their cup of coffee, Wi-Fi goes down. It's going to be utter chaos.
Well, another thing is we just had two nuclear bomber planes fly over the area where China's disputing with other countries. They're taking over islands or building islands and militarizing them. And in the last 2 weeks, there's been Mattis, you know, General Mattis, saying that the U.S. will not allow the militarization of those islands in that, you know, very important lane of commerce. And so there is another enemy, and China said this: we won't be scared by any so-called military ship or aircraft. We will only even more staunchly take necessary steps to defend the country's sovereignty and security to protect the peace and stability of the South China Sea region. Beijing demanded that you explain why it's sending attack weapons over the South China Sea. And it's think about this. This is all happening now. And then General Mattis is saying that, you know, he's talking about how this is going could possibly ignite a big military conflict as well. And
well, didn't Dmitry talk about that a precursor to the Russians attacking would be a war with China?
Yep, Yep, and that's what I think people are maybe not cluing in on, is that there is more of a chance that we start off with China in some way, you know. And so it's just it's an absolute multiple amount of enemies that we're dealing with, and they're not small. They're large.
Yeah, because I remember, you know, I'd have to read back through some of his prophecies, but I kind of remember there was a precursor of China coming against the United States, and that, of course, would, along with the internal conflicts taking place, that would open up more of a vulnerability that would then kind of bring forward Russia to come against the United States. And what was interesting, he had talked about that China would then, almost in a sense, come in our defense, push back the Russians to the gates of Paris and there sign a treaty, and then make Russia sort of their leader.
Yeah,
I'd have to
dream.
Read back through.
China,
sorry,
Russia, April 22nd, 1996. Dmitry Preid went to bed while he was awake, suddenly heard a trumpet sound. A voice said, "Stand." In my vision, I was in America. I walked out of my home, began to look for the one who had spoken to me. As I looked, I saw three men dressed alike. Two of the men carried weapons. One of the armed men came to me. "I woke you up to show you what has come. Come with me." I didn't know where I was being taken, but when we reached a place, he said, "Stop here." A pair of binoculars was handed to me. I was told to look through them. "Stand there, don't move and look," he continued. "You will see what they are saying and preparing for America." As I was looking, I saw a great light. A dark cloud appeared. I saw the president of Russia, a short, chubby man who was the president of China, and two others. The last two also said where they were from, but I didn't understand. However, I gathered they were part of Russian-controlled territory. The men stepped out of the cloud. The Russian president began to speak to the Chinese one. "I will give you the land with all the people, but you must free Taiwan of the Americans. Do not fear. We will attack them from behind." A voice said, "Watch where the Russians penetrate America." I saw these words: Alaska, Minnesota, Florida. Then the man said, "When America goes to war with China, the Russians will strike without warning." The other two presidents spoke and said, "We too will fight for you." Each had a place already planned as a point of attack. All of them shook hands and hugged. Then they signed in a contract. One of them said, "We're sure Korea and Cuba will be on our side. Without a doubt, together we can destroy America." The president of Russia began to speak insistently. "Why let ourselves be led by the Americans? Why not rule the world ourselves? Oh, they have to be kicked out of Europe as well. Then I can do as I please with Europe." Is that not amazing?
It is an interesting, too, that it didn't say North Korea or South Korea. It just said Korea.
Yeah. Yeah.
So are we starting to see the unification of Korea, one Korea, and that is like just a little hint at that unification?
Yeah, I mean, we are, without a doubt, we are seeing all of God's warnings coming to pass. And it says this, "The man standing beside me asked, this is what you saw. They act as friends and say they respect the treaties made together. But everything I've shown you is how it will really happen. Tell them what is being planned against America. Then when it comes to pass, the people will remember the words the Lord has spoken." "Who are you?" I asked. "I'm the protector of America. America's sins has reached God. He will allow this destruction, for he cannot stand such wickedness. God, however, still has people that worship him with a clean heart as they do his work. He has prepared a heavenly army to save these people." As I looked, a great army, well-armed and dressed in white, appeared before me. "Do you see that?" the man said. "This army will battle to save my chosen ones. Then the difference between the godly and ungodly will be evident." Wow.
Isn't that amazing?
Wow, wow. Yeah.
So I mean, and how? And what year was that told?
This was in January, or hold it. Let me get the right date here. I just... get the right one. It was April 22nd, 1996.
96.
Yeah.
That's over
talking about
years
what's
ago.
Going on right now. And by
it's
the way,
like
if you go Yeah, it's coming to pass.
It's like you're reading the headlines. It's like those are the headlines.
Yeah. Yep. And if you type in on Google, Russia and China make a treaty, check that out. Russia and China could soon become more powerful than the U.S., February 14, 2018. And, yeah, they signed a friendship pact in 2001. And then they have the Sino-Russian Treaty of Friendship, 2001, and cooperation treaties. Probably, you know, it's all coming to pass, brother.
Yeah. And, I mean, on one hand, you're excited for what the Lord has prepared for us. And on the other hand, you realize, okay, I am probably the last generation. I am part of that last generation. I will probably see this happen.
Yeah, it's amazing.
What's the word? I can't even think of the word. That's sobering. That is incredibly sobering to realize and to think, you know, okay, we got here because of what the church did, because they backed away from the Lord. They backed away from their responsibilities, and they sinned greatly. But yet here we are, trusting the Lord, believing in the Lord, and we're going to have one of the greatest challenges right in front of us. You know, like what Dimitri went through, that was incredible. You know, as he smuggled Bibles into the country, as he was put into prison, as he was put on, tortured, put on the electric chair twice, then exiled out of the country. Imagine what those that will see what's going to happen will go through.
Mm-hmm.
And how much your faith can very well be rocked by what's going to happen. It is imperative that we draw near to Christ. And so thank the Lord for your ministry. Thank the Lord for other ministries like yours, because God knows there is a remnant of people that love him, that worship him, that listen to him, and that have that ear to hear. So I'm thankful for folks like yourself, your wife, for Mike, his family, and for what they're doing, and for even this program, because there's people listening tonight that probably never heard these prophecies before, just stumbled upon the radio program and thought, what's this all about? And they're hearing this for the first time, and it's gonna spark repentance. It's going to spark a revival in their heart.
Yep, and Mike's last dream, if you go to June 1st of 2013, him and I were in Arizona, and he had a dream about a deer going off the path and ending up getting off the path, and a buck it was. And I want to just read the interpretation the angel gave him about what this dream was. He says this: as soon as I was asleep, my head hit the pillow, and once again the same dream began to play out. Just as the wolves were ready to attack and take down the buck, I was woken by a loud noise coming from the pull-out sofa in the room. It was Gene. He was snoring. Oh. I was halfway to throwing a pillow at Gene and telling him to roll over when I saw the man standing at the bed, arms crossed over his chest, half smile on his face. Ask your question, the angel said, you know, or the man said, rather. Why can't I see what happens? Why can't I see the end of the dream, I asked. It's inconsequential, he answered. The instant the animal wandered off the path and wounded itself, its end was a certain and foregone conclusion. It matters not which wolf fells it. Once it's felled, they'll all feast. The same can be said of this nation, with one exception. The annual had no one to help it. This nation rejected the help offered to it, believing it could heal its own self of the wounds it had inflicted on itself. Oh, my lands. The wolves gathered. They sensed the weakness. They smelled the blood. They're confident in the outcome of their endeavor. In an instant, the man was gone, and I find myself standing halfway out of bed with a pillow in my hand, pondering what I had just heard. We reject repentance at our own peril. We reject righteousness, sanctification, and the pursuit of holiness to our own detriment. Though there is safety on the narrow path, we've taken it upon ourselves to blaze our own trail, indifferent to the untold perils and dangers awaiting those who stray. Listen to that. The wolves have gathered, the hunt begins, and this weakened nation is the prey.
Notice what he said there, that that we thought that we could fix this ourselves.
Yeah.
We thought that we could make this happen. One of the things I listen to, you know, a number of what they call the alt-right. And mm-hmm. the thing I keep hearing is this feeling of we're turning the corner. We are fixing this country. We are bringing this country back to its glory. We are going to make this a better place, and we're getting there. This whole
yep.
mentality of we are fixing the problems that the other group created.
Yep.
Rather than recognizing that we as Christians over time, over the decades, have created this problem because we have turned from the Lord. We
yeah.
have forsaken repentance.
Yeah.
We haven't. If I could ask you a question, if somebody listened to this program, this was the only time they listened to it. Obviously, you know, we've laid out what's going to happen. We've talked about where this is headed. So what can that person do who's listening tonight for the first time and maybe the only time? What do they need to do to prepare themselves?
Number one,
not
live
physically,
clean.
But spiritually.
Live clean, number one. Number one, live clean. I mean clean. Live clean. That's God stresses that in many of the Bible and many of the prophetic warnings. Living clean means to live away from impurity and lust and loving the world. Living clean means to stay close to God, stay close to the Lord. It means to be in the Word and prayer and not touch unclean things. And that's critical. Number two, I believe it means praying your whole family finds Christ. You know, I think we have our prayers that what? Our family escapes this judgment. Like Lot, unfortunately, many of Lot's relatives, you know, didn't take the warning, you know,
yeah,
like they should have, didn't heed it, and paid the ultimate price. But we have to pray because part of believing the message is that those close to us believe it as well. And you look in the Bible when God was ready to judge a city, the vessel he would use to warn, he'd make sure, you know, that their family wasn't part of the judgment. But Lot's wife was part of the judgment because she didn't listen to the warning. And we have to make sure that we warn those around us. You know, and thirdly, we have to blow a trumpet, you know, if we want to be a watchman on the wall. You know, Ezekiel 33 says that if we consider ourselves, and I would urge people to try to be a watchman in their community and in their church and in their family, then we have to see trouble coming and blow the trumpet and warn. If not, the blood is what? On our hands. And
yeah.
We need to get the word out. We need to warn. We need to get through the fire books out, Wake Up America DVDs, get as many out as we can, and plaster, you know, the warnings are all over. I've been doing it for 25 years or 30 years, you know. Every meeting I go to, I've got materials where God warned that this is happening. Wake Up America DVDs, Through the Fire. Why these things? Because I believe Dimitri is an accurate man of God, and I 100% support the literature and things he put out. So I endorse it. I'm not so quick to do that with a lot of other people because they have mixture with it, you know. They predicted dates, or they've gotten messed up, or have gotten involved in pride. And Dimitri's warnings have been, you know, Wilkerson even endorsed Brother Dudeman's warnings, and other leaders around the country. I believe in my heart he was the vessel God sent to America to blow the trumpet. And
well, to
never,
add to, if I could if I can add to that, one of the things that Scripture talks about is like a litmus test to look at a person's life. One of the things to look at is, have they hazarded their lives? And one of the things that really spoke to me, because I think I mentioned this to you before, this is years ago, that when I was examining this issue, does God speak to people today? As I started to look at the landscape, I found it was almost as if it was like 400 to 1. For every true prophet of God or man of God that heard from the Lord, there was like 400 or 800 men or women that claimed they did, but they didn't. And so that's one of the turnoffs that a lot of people have is, you know, trying to weed through it. But one of the things for me, I asked the Lord, show me the true one. Show me the one that's really hearing from you and speaking for you. And the Lord has this way of showing me these things, like I said, you know, hearing what he said and then finding these evidence articles that bore witness that what his message was true. And but one of the things was he hazarded his life. And not only that, his focus wasn't prophecy. His focus was repentance. And that was what the prophets of old, that's their focus. It wasn't to talk about some extraordinary thing that was to come. The thing that was to come was being told to bear witness that his message was true so that you would therefore repent. And so that's what I admired about Dimitri Duneman and Mike and you is the heart is repentance. The heart of discipline is reconciliation. The heart of chastisement is to reconcile that person back to Christ. And so I like what you said, to walk righteous, to walk holy, to walk clean before the Lord. Get on your knees, pray to him, pray for your families, prepare your heart, prepare your mind, prepare your soul for what is to come, and then get the word out. Because if people don't know this stuff, and if we're not blowing the trumpet, then the blood is upon our hands.
Yeah, yeah. And we have a duty to warn, and God asks us to warn. And, you know, I don't want to look back and say I didn't do it or I wasn't diligent or vigilant. And with what's coming, it's so severe. And I do believe it won't be long and there'll be a great earthquake in California, you know, as Mike believes.
Yeah.
I don't believe that's that far away. And
no, I mean, if
you
look at what's happened in Hawaii, look at happens with Guatemala. I mean, we're seeing the earth just ripping open.
Yep. That state has mocked God. It's stuck its fist in the air and Hollywood is a stench. And, the liberal climate of California with pot laws and everything and assisted suicide, well, basically right to die laws. It's a Sodom and Gomorrah type state. And I strongly believe God's patience is running out. And I strongly believe that earthquake's not far away. It will be catastrophic, you know.
Yeah.
I do believe it will be catastrophic. And so catastrophic that I believe people will say this was God allowed. God allowed this, you know.
Yeah.
And San Francisco is so given over to gay sin. You know, we're afraid to call homosexuality sin. Well, hear me out tonight. It's a sin. It's wrong. It's against nature, against the Bible, you know. And we threaten people because that's not politically correct. And listen, I'm Bible correct. I'm Bible, want to be Bible correct. I don't have no desire to follow manuals and liberal and evil thought that God's changed his mind on reprehensible sin. You know, I do believe go ahead.
I was going to say the homosexual, we now have learned that the homosexual agenda, as they spoke of it years ago, was never about acceptance. It was never about tolerance. It was always about dominating, and it was about destroying the family, destroying the Christian, destroying the Word of God. And we now see that. It's in full display right in front of us, because years ago they acted like the lamb. Now they're acting like the lion. So it was never about tolerance. It was never about acceptance. It was always about destruction of Christian values.
Yep. So we have, you know, we're afraid. Michigan wants to make a law well, you know, where if you malign LGBT this or that, you could be in some form of breaking a law. And you see the Supreme Court case where thankfully they sided with the baker in Colorado.
Oh, yeah.
And
that's a case in point right there. Those people had to drive past several bakeries just to get to that one guy. Not for the purpose of getting a cake baked, but for the purpose of setting a precedent. And what they wanted to do was to make that guy an example that you never stand up for your values or your beliefs.
Yep. Yep. And I just want to make a point, you know, look at Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, I would have no doubt the political leaders of Sodom and Gomorrah called Lot every name in the book. And thought narrow and out of touch with society. Guess what? Go to Israel and see what's left. Sulfur balls, ash, and a Dead Sea. So don't think for a minute God doesn't punish sin. And there should not be worry in the church about the repercussion of preaching against sin. When we stop preaching against sin, we shouldn't be a preacher. You know, when we stop defending the truth, we shouldn't call ourselves a minister. And you know, I'm incredibly, you know, sad when I see ministers start, and even in Christian music, some of the artists who start to say, you know, gay marriage, you know, you can still go to heaven. And there's been artists come out and honestly, why are you doing Christian music ministry if you don't know the Bible? You don't know what sin is. You know, do you think for a minute Jesus would okay this and say you're going to heaven? No, the road is narrow, few find it. Wide is the way that leads to destruction, many find it. And God's not going to change his law and his word and his truth. Men do that.
Yeah, see, that's what the commandment where it says do not take the Lord thy God's name in vain is actually referring to. It's not just about taking God's name, you know, saying is it a cuss word. It's saying, I'm a Christian only in word, but not in deed.
Yep.
And those people who do that, they have taken God's name in vain.
Yep. And God does not change. The Bible says he's what? The same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And
there is no variableness nor shadow of turning.
Nope. And the other thing we have to be mindful of is woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Woe unto them.
Oh, yeah.
If we're in the work of God and we undermine the Bible and we start to, you know, there's a minister in Tennessee, you know, he was Carrie Underwood's pastor, and he came out for gay marriage. He had a church of 800 or 900 people. Came out for gay marriage and walked in the gay marches, and, you know, it didn't sit well with the conservative people down in Tennessee. And I don't care who you are in the ministry. The minute you endorse evil and sin is the beginning of the end of your ministry. And God says, woe unto them that call evil good. We, as vessels and tools of God, better know what evil is and preach against it and preach truth. And, you know, it's important. America in the church, what has crept into the church is people that fear man more than God and have not stood up for the truth properly, you know. And we're afraid of the word repentance and sin and truth and, you know, words today that frustrate the megachurch mentality and the, you know, seeker-friendly church growth movement and the hyper-faith people. And, no, Jesus said in the last days, you know, he said the hearts of many will grow cold. Many will grow cold. And that means people in the church, you know.
Yeah.
We got to monitor our heart that we're hot for God, that we walk with God, that we speak the truth for God. And does anyone think God for a moment would be light about messing with the Bible? It warns in the Bible, if you add to these words or take away from them, God will what? Add the plagues over you. Amen? And
amen.
We don't want to undermine God's truth. And what are we threatened by? How can the world can't touch us if we have God? We got to stand for what's right in front of God, not fear people. And I
think that's why they can touch the body, but they can't touch the soul.
No, they can't.
They can put us into prison. They can hurt us. They can physically damage us. But
yes.
Who cares?
And they do. But God wants the church to stand for truth. The minute the church doesn't stand for truth, the minute the church wavers, the minute we waffle and fear people, then we're not the tools that God called us to be. And, you know,
yeah.
Dimitri would all say to me many times, you know, don't please men, please God. And
yeah, his righteousness,
you know,
and his justice require the
yeah.
fall of America. He can't let this country that once claimed to be godly continue
yeah.
as this, as an example. That it doesn't work
yeah.
that way.
No. And, you know, many on that day will say, Lord, I did great things. I did great things, you know. But Jesus said, I never knew you. Why, you worker of iniquity? That means, and it's a solid warning, it means that people who once knew the truth started becoming a worker of iniquity. They weren't even endorsing the truth or the gospel. That's what's so scary when a minister says, I need $55 million for a jet. Because that is error.
Yeah,
that's such error. And that's what God, Jesus means by worker of iniquity. You know, that you're saying that you can't do the work of God unless you're in that $54 or $55 million jet. When Jesus didn't even have a house, didn't even have an address, didn't even have a place to lay his head. And then the audacious thought that Christ would never, you know, fly commercial. You know, no, Jesus
yeah.
wouldn't do that. He'd have to be on his own jet because he wouldn't want to be around those people sneezing and coughing and walking through the aisles, you know, where it's really tight and hard to navigate. And what kind of demented thinking is that? And this is the error Jesus is talking about. People become a worker of iniquity instead of truth. And they do damage to the kingdom. And these guys standing in front of God, it isn't going to be good for them at all.
No.
Not at all.
No.
So we have to uphold
the
truth.
We
have to fight for it. Yeah.
That's why I like what you said. Look at your life. Examine your life. Clean your life up. Walk cleanly before the Lord. And stand in that integrity. Stand with the Lord. Walk in holiness and in righteousness. If you have sin in your life, repent. Get rid of it. Because do you want to cling to it while you go to hell? It's not worth it.
I mean, I'm around Mike and vessels of God like that, and he's careful. He's like, man, you know what? I want to walk right with God because I know these are people that have walked with God and are in prophetic ministry, and they know the severity of it. We have to know the severity of we don't want to compromise. We don't want to get trapped into sin. We want to be away from evil and vile things and wicked things. We want to, what, see God expose them, shut them down. We have to be tools against the enemy's kingdom and his power so that God can destroy the kingdom of the devil. Amen? Church should be triumphant moving forward. And it's like you'll see a battle over putting Bibles in a hospital chapel or battles over, and there'll be church people involved in, we got to remove the Bible from the chapel because we don't want to offend other religions or whatever. And what kind of demented thinking is that? You hear so many demented arguments come from church people that ought to know better, should be defending the Bible, truth of God's word, and keeping God's word at all costs in as a cultural life changer. But either way, we're out of time, Jeff. I appreciate everything, brother.
Thank you. Thanks for inviting me.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Light of Truth. Jeff Sievertson and myself, Gene Schmidt, talking about the warning of God for America, several facets of it, civil war coming, the warning God gave Dimitri about Russia and China coming back to power, and lastly, defending the faith against everything that would try to undermine it and attack it. May God be with you. Help you keep standing for the truth in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's broadcast, The Light of Truth with Michael Baldea. If you would like to order a copy of today's broadcast, please visit our website at handofhelp.com. If you have questions about our ministry, you can email us at handofhelpoffice@aol.com or simply call us at 920-206-9910. God bless you. They are all